Firstly, to Romans chapter 3. The epistle to the Romans in chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And just one more reading in the book of Galatians, in chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And we know the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. Joel, in his prayer, when he's opening up, has mentioned that we're here this evening to present to you good news. Well, I want just to present to you good news, but it's for one group of people. That's guilty sinners. You know, until a person realizes that my sin is an enmity of God, my sin has caused me to become guilty in the sight of God and short of the standard of God, until a person realizes that I'm a guilty sinner, there'll be no salvation. In our law system today, a person has to be guilty to receive a pardon. A sinner has to be guilty to be saved. And I just want to speak to you tonight very briefly of two things I'd like to speak to you about. First of all, I'd like to talk to you about a guilty sinner and then a gracious saviour. A guilty sinner and a gracious saviour. That is, of course, our Lord Jesus Christ. Just want to ask you at the start of the meeting tonight, is he your saviour? Could you honestly say tonight that he is my saviour? The Lord Jesus Christ, he loved me and gave himself for me. Are you saved? Because really, that's all that matters. You know, you could go through life and you could get everything there is to get. You could get all the money there is. You could have a lovely family. You could have your favourite car and all these stuff very legitimate things. I want to tell you tonight, if you do not have Christ as your Saviour, the Lord Jesus would say it's better off you were never born. That's the reality, friend. If you do not have Christ as your Saviour, you're lost for all eternity. A guilty sinner. I wonder if I were to ask you tonight, in this world, what's your criminal record like? I'm sure most of you here would say that it's clean. I'm sure there's not too many bad criminals here in Bicester this evening. But the problem is, God has a different opinion. You see, no matter how good or bad we are in this world, no matter how many charges we have against ourselves, you know what God says? Guilty. Guilty. All the world guilty before God. You say, why? Why am I guilty? What? Why am I guilty before God? I didn't know about this guilt that I apparently have. Well, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, he says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Right from the very start, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were placed in the garden. They were given a very simple command by God. He says, all the fruit and the trees in the garden, he says, eat of them. You can enjoy the least fruit, but just this one tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he says, don't touch. And what did Adam and Eve do? Tempted by the devil, they took of the fruit of the tree. They disobeyed God. And from that moment on, sin entered into the world. From that moment on, the whole human race was cursed with this awful disease called sin. And there's no one that can avoid it. There's no special circumstances. All the world guilty before God. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. See, the consequences of Adam and Eve's disobedience in the Garden of Eden, every man, woman, boy and girl born a sinner. And we've read, all have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. You say, well, but I'm not that bad. And really, in the grand scheme of things, I'm not that bad. You know, the man that lives next door, he's a lot worse than me. Or the man at school, or my work colleague, he's way worse than me. I'm not that. Surely God would look at me and would have a bit of favour. All the world guilty before God. There's no difference. No difference with God. God, you see, one sin is too many for God. That's the problem. It's one sin too many. There's no hierarchy in God's eyes. All have sinned. God looks upon fallen man. No matter how good or bad man is, God says, sin. Guilty. Fallen short of my standard. You see, God's standard is perfect. God's standard is holy. God's standard is sinless. And there's not a man, woman, boy or girl upon this earth that can meet God's standard. See, that's the problem. The problem, we seem to think in this world today that it's all about being better or being as good as I can and having my good deeds outweigh my bad deeds. But God says no. God says all have sinned. No difference. All have sinned. And we are in God's courtroom, as it were. God, who is a righteous, holy judge, has seen the sinner in the courtroom. And he has seen the sin. And the sentence has been passed. Guilty. Guilty before God. Guilty of sin. And you know, friend, the sentence of sin tonight is hell. That's the reality. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. Friend, it's an awful thing. It's an awful thing to be lost forever. To be lost without a hope. Friend, you only get one chance. You only have one soul. One soul to be saved. One life. One soul. Friend, do not take God's salvation for granted. It's way too important. This is your eternity that's on the line. Because you get a grasp of that. If the Lord spares you, you might live a happy, long life in this earth. But friend, eternity is forever. Forever. There's no end to eternity. And the sentence of sin is hell for all eternity. Friend, tonight, it's time you took your sin seriously. It's time you've seen your sin for what it is. It's time you've seen your sin for something that offends a holy God. And friend, tonight you need to realize that you're on death row. This God's sentence is a death sentence. And it's eternal. No end. Lost for all eternity. You say, what can I do? Surely there's something I can do to get this sentence away. Surely there's something I can do that might please God. That he would say, okay, fair enough, you can go free. I want to tell you tonight, the answer is nothing. There is nothing, there's not a thing we can do to be saved. The next verse 20 tells us that there will be no flesh justified in his sight. You see, if you were brought into a courtroom and the judge says, I find you guilty of speeding down the motorway one night. And you say, well, okay, fair enough. I was speeding that night down the motorway. But wait to tell you, since that night, I've driven down that motorway 100 more times below the speed limit. And actually, just while I was at it, I resurfaced the motorway for you and painted all the white lines again. And I have the whole thing looking well. You know, the judge would just say, well, that's amazing. I'm really happy you did that. And it's good to see that you've learned your lesson and you're not speeding anymore and you resurfaced the road for us. That's great. But you're still guilty. You're still guilty of speeding. You're still guilty of sin. Friend, tonight, all your good works, all your trying, nothing can remove your guilt of sin. One sin, as we said, is too many. One sin, guilty before God. Friend, sin is serious. Sin is real. And friend, if you're not saved tonight, you need to realise that I'm guilty. I wonder, is anyone here, have you not saved? Have you come to the realisation yet that I'm a guilty sinner? Have you came to that honest truth? Have you swallowed that pill tonight? That I'm a guilty sinner before a holy God. And if I continue the way I am, I will be lost for all eternity in hell. A guilty sinner. But what about a gracious Saviour? You see, Paul, who wrote these two passages that we've been reading from, Paul knew he was a guilty sinner. He knew he was bad. He knew that his sin offended a holy God. But what does he tell us here in Galatians chapter 2? He says there was a substitute that took my place. There was one who took my place. There was one who gave me a pardon for all my sin. I wonder here tonight, would you take someone's place? Is there someone you love that if they were sentenced for a crime they committed, would you step in and take their place and take their punishment for them? Is there someone you love enough to do that for? Well, that's a very honourable thing to do. But you see, the problem is in our law system today that a guilty person can't take the place of a guilty person. You see, our sin, because of our sin, because of our guilt before God, in order for us to receive a pardon, we needed someone who was innocent. We needed someone who didn't have this guilt. We needed someone who met the standard of a holy God. We needed someone who was completely sinless, who was holy, who was completely sinless. And Paul says here, he says, there was one that took my place. And he tells us he was the Son of God. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's what we're here to talk about tonight. We're not here to tell you about anything else. We need to warn you. We need to faithfully warn you about your sin and the consequences of it. But tonight, what we want to really get to is this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, one who was absolutely sinless, one who was absolutely holy, one who thought not robbery to be equal with God, one who fulfilled God's law to the very last jot. And Paul says he took my place. The Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, have you took it in yet that the man who died on Calvary's cross so that you could be saved was the very Son of God? It was the Son of God that was on Calvary's middle cross. It wasn't just some man. It wasn't just some prophet or teacher. It was the Son of God. The Son of God. Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You say, Paul, well, why on earth would he do that for you? Why would he, the Son of God, take you, a guilty sinner's place on Calvary's cross? Paul tells us here, he says, because he loved me. He loved me. Friends, tonight, I want to tell you, God loves you. If you take away nothing else, take away this, that God loves you. No matter how bad you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what your upbringing, God loves you. He loves every guilty sinner equally. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, this is love beyond all measure. This is unconditional love. This is love that wants to see you saved. You know, it's God's will that you be saved. God wants you to be saved. Lord Jesus Christ, he desires all men to be saved. And God, tonight, he is ready and he is able to save your precious soul. He could save you in the seat you sit in Bicester Gospel Hall tonight. You could leave this door saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? You could go home tonight with your sins forgiven and know heaven as your eternal home through your faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You say, well, Paul, that's good that he loves you, but tell me, Paul, how much did he love you? He says he gave himself for me. He gave himself for me. Do you know how much Lord Jesus Christ loved Paul? He went to the cross. He went to the cross. He went to the, and not only did he go to the cross for Paul, but he went to the cross for you and for me. All the way to, we sing with the children, all the way to Calvary, he went for me. He died to set me free. Friend, tonight, Lord Jesus Christ, he loved guilty sinners so much that he went to Calvary's cross. And there, as he was nailed by the hands and by the feet, he suffered what tongue could never tell. He suffered unimaginable pain on Calvary's middle cross. On that cross, he shed his own precious blood so that every sin that you and me have committed could be completely washed away, could be completely cleansed, blotted out. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it cleanses us from all sin. All sin, past, present and future, could be gone through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. On that cross, he willingly entered into death so that this great problem that we have, so that this root problem that's in here of sin could be completely banished, so that our old man that we have could be put to death, could be completely banished. And on that cross, in those 3 dark hours, he suffered what no human could ever understand. When the Lord God made the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, sin for us. We can't understand it. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Friends, tonight, on that cross, the Lord Jesus Christ bled and suffered and died so that you could be saved for all eternity. And friend, tonight, he's not dead anymore. He's not dead. Friend, the Saviour that we come to preach to you tonight, he's alive. He's alive. He rose again the 3rd day, according to the Scriptures, and he rose victorious from the grave so that you and me and the person beside you could have eternal life with him for all eternity. Is that not something you would want tonight? Would you not want that? Eternal life. It's the best thing any human has ever heard of. You know, there's plenty in this world that's just, if we're honest, absolutely amazing, that brings us so much pleasure that we can appreciate about this world. There's a lot. But there's one thing that's so much better than all of that. There's one thing that the gospel, this good news, can offer you that's better than everything in this world. Eternal life with Christ, which is far better. And you could have it tonight. You could have this eternal life tonight through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that cross, he said 3 words. It is finished. It's finished. Do you know what that means? It means every single thing that was required to fulfill the righteous demands of a holy God on account of your sin and mine was met in full by the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary's cross. Fully met. God is satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ. God, who is a righteous judge, is fully satisfied by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. And because the righteous judge is fully satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, he is able to justly save your soul. Because the Lord Jesus Christ finished it all, you can be saved tonight in Bicester. Right from the front row to the back, you can be saved because it is finished. God is satisfied with the sacrifice of Christ so that guilty, hell-deserving sinners like you and me can be saved. You say, Paul, well, that's great. The Son of God, he loves you and he gave himself for you and you're saved. You're going to heaven. That's great. But tell me, Paul, how can I get it? How can I get this salvation that you have? Paul tells us here by 2 words. By faith. By faith. That's it. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what? Paul just simply took it in. The sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, it was for me. It was for me. Paul just simply appreciated that I'm a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. And Paul was saved. Paul was saved. Paul can never be lost because Paul was saved. I'm going to ask you again tonight, are you saved? Are you saved? Can you say with truth tonight that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me? Are you able to take in that truth? Have you simply had a time in your life where you've just placed your full confidence and trust in the Son of God that he died for me? You know, that's what I did as a 9-year-old boy. Back where I grew up in Ballymena, we had a series of gospel meetings starting in the town centre in an orange hall. And I was taken along to these meetings every night, and I had no interest in going. and I never listened to the preacher while he was speaking. I had no interest whatsoever. The last place I wanted to be every night was the gospel meeting, but I had to go. So I went and sat there. A few weeks went by, and it came to maybe 4 or 5 weeks in, and again, it was just a normal meeting. It was a Friday night, and again, I wasn't listening to anything that was being said. There was nothing the preacher said really interested me. Maybe you're the same tonight, fair enough. But there was nothing that interested me about that meeting. But you know, God was speaking to me. God was speaking to me. I wonder if God's speaking to you tonight. Have you heard the voice of God in this meeting tonight? Don't take it for granted. It might be the last time you hear it. God might never speak to you again. Now would be a good time to get saved. But anyway, God was speaking to me that night. And you know, just where I was sitting, I suddenly got a terrifying realization that, you know, it's possible that we could get in a fatal car accident on the way home tonight. And all three of us could be killed. And you know, if that were to happen, my mum and dad, they would be in heaven because they were saved. But I would be in hell. I wasn't saved. I would be in hell. And you know, that terrified me. I wonder, have you realised that yet? If you're not saved here, have you realised that, God forbid it would happen, but if you were to be in that situation that I was worried about, that you would be in hell? It's an awful thing to realise that you'll be in hell. I realised that I would be in hell. And you know, without wasting another moment, without thinking about it anymore, without saying, well, I'll talk to someone after, I just simply said, I'm going to get this matter sorted now. And you know, there was no big light, there was no big voice, there was no big externals, there was nothing, there was no big event about it. Just simply, in the quietness of my seat, I just simply took it in that I am a guilty, hell-deserving sinner. But God loves me. And he loves me so much that he sent his only son to die on Calvary's cross for me. For me. I just simply took it in to the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved me so much that he died for me. And you know, from that moment on, I was saved. I was saved. I was sure of heaven for all eternity just by simply putting my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul did here. By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Friend, tonight, you could have that. You could have that salvation tonight. No, it's a great thing to be saved. It really is. It's a great thing to be saved. Just to know that I can put my head in the pillow tonight and know that all is well for eternity. There's nothing like knowing all is well for eternity. It's a great thing to be saved, but it's an awful thing to be lost. It's an awful thing to be lost for all eternity. I just want you to get that into your head tonight. How awful a thing it would be for your soul to be lost for all eternity. Lost without a hope for all eternity. It's an awful thing to be lost. Friend, tonight, don't leave the matter anymore. Don't leave God's salvation any longer. This might be the last time the gospel is preached in Bicester Gospel Hall. This could be the last gospel meeting that you sit in. Just realise, just simply putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, simply accepting that I'm a guilty, hell-deserving sinner, but the Son of God, he loved me and gave himself for me. May the Lord bless his word.